Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show, across the state of Georgia and the internet. Broadcasting live, Facebook Live, Facebook.com/EW Erickson, in addition to everything else on your local radio station, all over the state of Georgia now. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, well, the call screener has taken his child to daycare, so the phone lines aren't open yet. When they are open, it'll be 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425. Now we must get into, well, how I became the news this morning. I didn't mean to become the news this morning, and man, people are really sensitive to the obvious being pointed out. People are really, really upset with me for saying this whistleblower complaint is coordinated. Now, before we go there, I need to further dispel an urban legend that has cropped up on the internet. You know, there are a lot of people saying that the proof of coordination is that the whistleblower filled out a form that had been changed to allow secondhand information when previously no secondhand information was allowed on this disclosure of urgent concern. Well, it turns out, in fact, I misstated yesterday that it was urgent concern required firsthand and otherwise it did not. And I misstated that from stuff I read. Well, the inspector general has come out and clarified. And by the way, you should understand that whether it's Congressman Doug Collins from here in Georgia or other Republican congressmen, they have immense respect for this inspector general who was handpicked by Donald Trump to be the inspector general for the intelligence community, in large part because the guy is very interested in and pays attention to the intelligence community abusing their authority. So we have an inspector general who the Republicans think quite highly of and a director of national intelligence who the Republicans think quite highly of, and they're all pushing back on this. In fact, let me read you what the inspector general says. The disclosure of urgent concern form the complainant submitted on August 12, 2019 is the same form the inspector general has had in place since May 24, 2018, which went into effect before Inspector General Atkinson entered on duty as the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community on May 29th, 2018, following his swearing in as the Inspector General on May 17th, 2018. And that's really relevant because the president is pushing out to, and it's actually some friends of mine who have been pushing this, and I think very highly of them. I like them very much, but I think they're wrong on this. The theory is that the whistleblower only had secondhand information. And that when you filed a disclosure of urgent concern form, it required firsthand information, not secondhand information. Firsthand information, you will recall, is information where you yourself have knowledge of it. You experienced it yourself. Secondhand information is other people told you what happened. And the whistleblower makes very clear that there's a lot of secondhand information. And the theory that was developed is that the secondhand information, that the form was changed for the whistleblower to be able to file this disclosure of urgent information with secondhand information, not firsthand information, and that the form was changed in August of 2019 to allow him to do this. The president has tweeted this out. People on the right have done this. A lot of conservatives have pushed this story to suggest some elaborate conspiracy with the whistleblower. And it turns out it's simply not true. The form was prepared, had been in place since May of 2018. And the whistleblower filled this form out. Now, the inspector general also says that the whistleblower did have firsthand information as well. That there was a lot of secondhand information, but the whistleblower also had firsthand information. Now, I went back and looked at the whistleblower form, and there are some redacted portions of it. And I'm wondering if that is where the whistleblower had firsthand information, because the overwhelming majority of the report is multiple officials told me, one official told me, multiple officials told me, multiple officials told me. So I'm wondering if the firsthand information might be the redacted portion of it. I re-skimmed it. I don't recall any firsthand information from the whistleblower in his complaint. So maybe that's the redacted stuff. But this idea that the form was changed is not true. All of that being said, I've caused a hullabaloo this morning and I did not mean to. Little old me sitting at my desk in Macon, Georgia, got everybody up to date. and worried. Y'all, can we just admit there's coordination? There's absolute coordination. We don't have to construct a conspiracy about the form being changed to acknowledge there's coordination. Now, I want to step back to a different matter. And you have to be careful how you do this because there's some sensitivity involved, and I get that. There is some sensitivity. In Benghazi, after what happened with Benghazi, let's not say I'm trying to equate the two. People died there. They're not dying here. But in Benghazi, as the whistleblowers wanted to get their story out, they began meeting privately with Republican members of Congress, including Devin Nunes. Which, interestingly enough, it really highlights. I've played this audio before. Let me play it again. This is Devin Nunes talking to Admiral McGuire, the director of national intelligence, trying to figure out who leaked.
So what I'm trying to ascertain is, how would it run in all the mainstream media outlets? How did they get, even though they got a lot of it wrong, but they had the basics of it, that it involved the president of the United States talking to a foreign leader. So did anybody, you or anybody in your office, leak this to the Washington Post or NBC News?
Ranking member, I lead the intelligence community. We know how to keep a secret. As far as how that got into the press, I really do not know, sir. I just know that it's all over the place, and as you said, it's been reported by different media for the past several weeks. Where they get their information from, I don't know.
So that's Devin Nunes trying to figure out where the leaks came from. Devin Nunes would know something about this because Devin Nunes helped the whistleblowers from Benghazi get their story into the media and before Congress. That's fact. I happen to know some of what went on behind the scenes there, and I know that the whistleblowers were very smart people. They wanted to make sure that their story got out. They believed there was a wrong, and they knew that the Obama administration and parts of the media would try to quash their story. And so they turned to friendly ears in Congress, who they gave their story to, and they helped roll it out. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's just be clear here. There's nothing wrong with coordinating to make sure your story gets out, particularly if you think that an administration is going to be out to get you. In the whistleblower case in Benghazi, obviously, there had been massive failures by the Obama administration. Those massive failures involved Hillary Clinton. Those massive failures involved a president who was more focused on campaigning than he should have paid attention to on September 11th, of all things, something happening in Benghazi. And the media obviously was totally in the tank for the Obama administration. So, of course, they went and they found people who could help them. They weren't experienced in the ways of the Washington Press Corps and Congress, so they found people who could help them get their story out. Well, I think the same holds true here. Just look at what we have here. We have a whistleblower complaint that is filed August 12th. It should, under the deadline, be released to Congress by September 1st as an urgent matter. And it's not. The Inspector General instead chooses to send it to the Justice Department for further review, thinking there may be a campaign finance violation. The Justice Department rules that there really is nothing there, and that this is a policy dispute with the president. It's not a massive breach of national security or anything else. What happens? We suddenly start hearing stories in the media about a week ago that the president is accused of having an inappropriate conversation with the president of Ukraine. And that President Trump asked the president of Ukraine to help him get Joe Biden. And the story builds in the media over 2 days. Then we have the story, there's a whistleblower complaint. And everybody in the media says, we don't know, we don't know that the whistleblower complaint is tied to this phone call, wink, wink, nod, nod, but we need to see what this is all about. There's a whistleblower complaint. We don't know that it's tied to what we've told you about, but we think it is. And so the president releases the transcript and says, see, there's nothing here. He says, oh, this is related to the whistleblower complaint, and this is really bad. Look, here comes the whistleblower, and the whistleblower complaint comes out. And then what happens? the media immediately seizes on one paragraph. Oh, look, they put this in a secret server. I wonder if they put any other transcripts in a secret server. And then 24 hours later, hey, there's a phone call with Mohammed bin Saud or what's his name, MBS, the Saudi crown prince. They put that in there. And then the next day, hey, there's one from Vladimir Putin. It's in there too. Hey, look, all these things start leaking out. And now we've got the Australia one. It's come out too. Drip, 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 drip. Wonder what else is going to come out. Y'all, I've been around the block enough to know there's coordination. You don't have to be an expert to see. We have the media start buzzing about something happened with the president of Ukraine. It's the same national security reporters that have been pushing out all of the stories about the Trump administration from insider sources. Then suddenly we hear rumors of a whistleblower report that is tied to this, wink, wink, nod, nod. We don't really know, but that's what we're being told. Well, who's telling you? And then we get the whistleblower report, and every single member of the media immediately seizes on one paragraph that there's a server where they're putting other transcripts too. What else is in there? And then suddenly there's one with a Saudi crown prince. Oh, Khashoggi, Khashoggi, Khashoggi. And then suddenly there's one with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin has a transcript in there. And then suddenly there's one with Australia. Let's leak that, y'all. This is coordinated. Now, I want to be real clear here. This is very important. The Republicans have done this level of coordination too, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to navigate through Washington, you coordinate. You can say they're out to get the president. Yes, they're out to get the president. How do you not think they're not out to get the president? They've been out to get the president since before he was elected. Of course the Democrats are out to get the president. Members of the intelligence community, we saw Strzok. We saw, what, Lisa Page. We saw James Comey. We've seen Andrew McCabe. We've seen all these people. Yes, these people are hostile to the president. Yes, there are elements there. There's not some sort of grand conspiracy. There are a few people in there who they found out about the whistleblower. The whistleblower happens to hire a lawyer who is connected to Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton. Of course this is coordinated. Of course the Democrats have been out to get the president. I mean, let's all be adults here and just admit this has been going on for a while, and they finally got something. And see, that's the point here. All these people screaming at me, oh, you're undermining this. You're undermining this. Why are you running with Republican spin? It's just the truth. The truth is not spin. Here's the other side of the coin of truth. They may get the president. Just because they coordinated a rollout doesn't mean there's no there there. In fact, the fact that intelligence agents are risking their career to do this suggests they think there is a there there, which suggests there's going to be more that comes out. Remember, the intelligence agent who was the whistleblower made sure in every paragraph to say he had multiple sources for this, one source for this, multiple sources for this, multiple sources for this, one source for that. Suggestion of certain documents that he has seen. He's got the discovery path prepared for the Democrats. He took the time to prepare the discovery. And again, the president's call came the end of July. The whistleblower complaint was filed August 12th. There was a massive effort to get that whistleblower complaint as detailed as it was in that short a time. Yes, there's coordination. I don't know why the Democrats are mad at me for pointing out it's obvious that this has been a coordinated rollout with Democrats leading up to impeachment. It is obvious. I mean, don't believe your lying eyes, I guess. But for Republicans who look at this, that doesn't mean there's not a there there. Yes, there could be something in there that ensnares the president. The Democrats think they have it with the Ukraine phone call. I'm wondering if they think there's something else in there, too, and they're going to build slowly. But right now what we're seeing is a drip, drip, drip campaign of the Democrats and people in the intelligence community leaking things to harm the president to build the narrative. But I'm wondering if maybe they overplayed their hand with this Australia thing, because I've looked at this Australia matter, and this is a stupid complaint against the president. I mean, it's ridiculous that they think that somehow this one is a big one. We'll get to that when we come back.
Honest news and conservative views.
Never separated from the truth.
It's the Eric Erickson Show.
One note for the President of the United States, please. He is congratulating President Xi of China on the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic of China. Please don't congratulate communists on a dictatorial communist regime that persecutes and kills Christians, Uyghurs, Muslims, and others. Please don't congratulate a communist regime. You know, NPR actually ran a story today that the Communist Party has lifted millions out of poverty, but income inequality is growing. I kid you not. That was an actual story. Meanwhile, here in Georgia, 11 Alive in Atlanta is reporting that a man accused of being a Chinese spy met with a double agent in Georgia, a Chinese tour operator charged by U.S. officials with illegally ferrying information to China, was exposed by a double agent working at least in part in Columbus, Georgia, the U.S. attorney in San Francisco said. Zhiwei Edward Ping, 56, described as a quiet and friendly. Well, aren't they all described as quiet and friendly? With a taste for luxury cars, was charged in documents unsealed Monday with being an illegal foreign agent and delivering classified U.S. national security information to officials in China. Anderson did not say how long Ping had been operating as an unregistered spy. As an unregistered spy? What? You have to register to be a spy these days? What do you do? I'm sorry. That caught me off guard. I clearly should have read this more before I read out on air. Yeah, an unregistered spy. You gotta go to the spy registry in Washington, D.C. and hand over your license. Hi, I'm here to be a spy and deliver classified information back to the commies. He's an unregistered spy for China's Ministry of State Security. Only that the FBI employed a double agent in 2015 who conducted exchanges with Ping in the San Francisco Bay Area and in Columbus, Georgia. Anderson accused Ping, whom he described as a tour operator for Chinese students and visitors, of a combination of age-old spycraft and modern technology. Interesting. Danilo Serrano, a neighbor of the accused spy in Hayward, California, said Ping moved in across the street from him 5 years ago, kept a Lexus and a Porsche. About a year ago, he bought an expensive Tesla, the nice one with the doors that go up. Man must have had a lot of money. Isn't it always interesting how the commies come here and they live it up in ways they can't back home? Ping secured a hotel room. He would leave up to $20,000 there, authorities said. The double agent would then get a key to the room, take the cash, and leave a digital card containing information. Ping would take the card and travel to Beijing and meet Chinese intelligence. Authorities said the unnamed double agent went to the FBI in 2015 after China's intelligence department tried to recruit the person as a spy. The unnamed agent was told by Chinese intelligence officials at the meeting in 2015 that Ed was reliable and had family in China. Aha! The old "we're keeping your family here" card. The criminal complaint said Ping is a naturalized U.S. citizen who entered the country on a temporary business visitor visa and became a permanent resident. In 2006, he was naturalized in September of 2012. Oh, he holds an acupuncturist license. Fascinating. So on the day the president is congratulating the Chinese, turns out this guy's a spy. Interesting. Interestingly enough, the neighbor says he can't believe this guy was a spy. It's Ed. Ed's the spy. This whole thing, I mean, I shouldn't laugh at the spy was conveying American intelligence, but this whole he's an unregistered spy thing, that just gets me. Okay. We do need to talk about the Australian matter. We do. But I have to tell you that the number two most read thing at the Washington Post right now is a story how the sexy peach emoji joined the resistance. That's right. Let me read you the tweet that started this all. If you want to understand how the sexy peach emoji, I thought it was just I didn't realize it was a sexy peach. Who is drawing inferences into a peach emoji that it's sexy? Is there an unsexy peach? It's covered in fuzz and black spots. the sexy peach emoji has come to represent both the potential impeachment of President Trump and a butt. You must look to the ancient Sumerians. Wow. Is Jeff Bezos forcing a clickbait quota on the Washington Post for stories like this? Absurd. When we come back, the Australian nothing burger. Let's discuss it, shall we? And we'll take your phone calls. Good morning to you. 35 after the hour. It is Eric Erickson here live with you across the state of Georgia and across this nation and the world with the internet. With the internet. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I want to discuss the whistleblower. Well, not the whistleblower. I'm sorry. Multitasking, I shouldn't do that while I'm talking to you, should I? I want to discuss the Australia situation. Now, again, let's back up. I think that there is coordination. I don't think we can dispute that there is coordination. And I think that the coordination in general is coordination to make sure that people who believe there's a serious problem get their airtime, that they coordinated with Democrats to get it out. It doesn't mean me saying that I think there's coordination isn't to be dismissive of it for people who think there's a there, but it is to note that I think there's more than meets the eye to this. I don't think we should deny that. Let's be grown up about it. The Republicans have coordinated releases of whistleblower stuff in the past against the Obama administration. That's just it. This is what they do in Washington. And part of that is the drip, drip, drip. We have the dripping of the, there are other transcripts. We have the dripping of the Saudi Arabian transcript. We have the dripping of the Putin transcript. And we now have the dripping of the Australian transcript. If you haven't heard the news, it really is a nothing burger. And in fact, I think it undermines the whole credibility of the process that they want to throw this one out there. The president asked Australia's prime minister in a phone call to work with William Barr, the attorney general, on trying to figure out what really happened in 2016. If you will recall, there was an Australian diplomat in London who met up with George Papadopoulos at a bar. Papadopoulos ran his mouth. This person reported it back to the Americans. There has long been a belief that this guy was a plant by the Obama administration to undermine the Trump campaign. And the president believes this, and in so believing, he wants answers. And he really believes, now listen, you got to work back here. The president is convinced that the intelligence community does not like him and is out to sabotage his presidency. When he looks at this whistleblower stuff, he's got a pretty good idea that, yeah, they are. Whether they are or they're not, he looks at this stuff, and most of his supporters look at this stuff and say, yeah, they're out to get him. And if they're out to get him, they didn't like him to begin with. Did they shade, color, or detract from or delete from the Mueller investigation relevant facts exculpatory to the president? And he wants to look and see. And in looking and seeing, the president wants to find data that supports his thesis that the Obama administration was the one coordinating with people. Particularly, he believes the Obama administration was coordinating with Ukrainians to sabotage his election. And the reason that he believes the Obama administration was coordinating with Ukrainians is he believes that Ukrainian administration at the time supported Obama, and that administration it wanted to help Hillary Clinton because it believed the Russians, it believed the Obama administration, the Russians were helping President Trump, given the Ukraine-Russian situation, that they wanted to help Hillary Clinton. It's all a convoluted mess of strings across a chalkboard, and I it hurts my head to even think about the elaborate nature of the conspiracy. But I got a lot of friends who have bought into it. I'm in general skeptical of all conspiracies, largely because I don't believe people can keep secrets. In fact, for example, this coordination stuff, I think within a year or so, we're going to have a tell-all book come out that explains how it all happened, how it all went down. Everyone will want to pat themselves on the back as the man who took out the president, so they'll all want a book deal. But this Australian story is nothing. The media is blowing this up as if it's some sort of big deal, as if it's some sort of interference in the election. How is it interfering in an election when the election happened in 2016 and the president just wants the facts? Well, what exactly happened? I mean, that's the entire gist of this story. is that the president is asking Australia to help the attorney general investigate what actually happened. And, you know, to William Barr's credit, he's willing to humor the president. I have not understood this idea by the Democrats that somehow or another they need to chase out all of the responsible people in the room. And that if they don't chase out all the responsible people in the room, that somehow they're doing a bad job. Why do you want to chase out all the responsible people in the room? Do you want the president surrounded by people like Rudy Giuliani the entire time? William Barr is a grown-up. He was George H.W. Bush's attorney general. He is highly respected. He was supported in a near unanimous vote in the Senate when he was confirmed for George H.W. Bush. Joe Biden has sung his praises. Members of the intelligence community have sung his praises. And somehow he's the bad guy for humoring the president while doing his job. That makes no sense to me. And yet the Democrats, they want to destroy anyone who worked for the Trump administration. Look at the reaction of the media. The CNN, for example, was willing to hire Obama administration personnel and put them into supposedly objective roles. But anyone who worked for Trump is somehow anathema. I think that shows some partisan bias. And here's the same with this. I think there are problems. And I think the Australia story is indicative of this, how the media is running with things that they're nothing burgers. I mean, they really are genuinely nothing burgers. Now, the president, of course, wants to find the whistleblower, and the media is now blowing this up as well. Let me reroute the audio here. I guess I changed it. He wants to find who is the person who leaked. And did they coordinate with the Democrats?
We're trying to find out about a whistleblower. When you have a whistleblower that reports things that were incorrect, as you know, and you probably now have figured it out, the statement I made to the president of Ukraine, a good man, a nice man, knew, was perfect. It was perfect. But the whistleblower reported a totally different statement, like the statement, it was not even made. I guess statement you could say with call. I made a call. The call was perfect. When the whistleblower reported it, he made it sound terrible. And then you had Adam Schiff, who, even worse, made up my words, which I think is just a horrible. I've never even seen a thing like that. Adam Schiff, representative, congressman, made up what I said. He actually took words and made it up. The reason is when he saw my call to the president of Ukraine, it was so good that he couldn't quote from it because there was nothing done wrong. It was perfect. So Adam Schiff decided, I can't let this happen. So let me make up. Do you ever hear of this one, Gene? Do you ever hear of anything like this? So Adam Schiff made up a phony call, and he read it to Congress, and he read it to the people of the United States. And it's a disgrace.
You know, Adam Schiff really, I think, hurt the Democratic cause in all of this. He, in revising the president's transcript, I think he gave the president an attack that he otherwise would not have been able to get. And I think this Australia transcript does the same thing. You release the Australia transcript and suddenly it looks like there's everything is silly when there's no there. I think it's fair to say that the Democrats are going to overplay their hand. I don't think they've already done it. Some people think they already have. I think the Republicans are going to overplay their hand. I think the president going on about civil war kind of overplays his hand, but then I think the Democrats are going to overplay their hand. Now, let us go to the phones. Ari from Houston, Texas, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. I'm really kind of intrigued by the different opportunities of interpretation of these things and how shitty Adam posed it. It was almost in itself proof of the prejudice, proof of the coordination. And on the other hand, if you just want to believe Trump's trying to do his best to clean up what's been an obvious interference of all types of the election process, then, you know, what he's trying to do is simply the executive job of cleaning up the corruption. And they are scared to death ever since Mueller failed. They're scared to death that a lot of them are going to lose their jobs, lose their retirement, go to jail, and be forever ruined. And this is the nature of this was put together pretty quick in less than 2 months, and it's extremely coordinated. So, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to go for broke to save their butts. And frankly, you know, if you listen to some of the media like MSNBC, all they're doing is sitting in a circle, imploding their own ideas on each other and interpreting everything in the worst possible way. Well, a lot of people criticize conspiracy theories.
Listen, I appreciate that very much. And thank you very much for that. And, you know, you make a great point, Ari. One of the issues that's going on with the president and with this administration, and by the way, I should tell people that so we had a caller, and it's, for those of you who are watching, there are a lot of people who are watching this online, and I put us in the commercial break screen when I had a caller because we've had a couple of trolls calling who are trying to capture Facebook, and the best way to dissuade it is they can't record the video when we go to commercial break if we have the caller. So we already called from Houston. And his point is that there was obviously coordination because the president is trying to figure out what's going on. He doesn't like the administration. He doesn't like the intelligence community out to get him. And Ari made a very good point. Ari noted that if you watch MSNBC or many of these shows, what you see is that they're giving the worst possible interpretation to what the president actually did. They don't give the president a charitable benefit of interpretation. And that's something I have noticed across the board since this president got elected. In fact, so let me back up. Let me back up here. When the president got elected, I penned a piece shortly after the president's election. I was not a supporter of the president. And I wrote a piece and said, listen, I'm a conservative who didn't support the president. I didn't support the president because I didn't believe he was conservative. He was on the campaign trail defending Planned Parenthood and major government spending. I didn't like that. I didn't like his character. I didn't vote for Clinton. I didn't vote for him. Well, the reality is that the president of the United States deserves the benefit of the doubt. I was wrong about the election and he won. I should give him the benefit of the doubt. And I got blown up for writing that as someone who said I wasn't going to vote for the president and I didn't vote for the president, but I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And it turns out he did far more conservative things than many people, myself included, thought he would, which is why I'm supporting him in 2020. But there are a lot of people in the media generally who look on the president and they interpret every single thing he does as bad or stupid. Remember the eclipse. Remember the eclipse. You had members of the media circulating a photograph of the president looking at the sun with his eyes without any protection. And if you actually saw the video that was from, you see he did a quick glance up and back. That was it. But the media wanted to portray the president as stupid. Time and time again, the media takes the worst possible interpretation and imputes it to Donald Trump. So, for example, the president of the United States believes, implicitly believes, that the intelligence community tried to sabotage him in 2016. So the president asked the Australians, please cooperate with my attorney general. We're trying to find out if there are people within the government who were trying to undermine me in 2016, interfering with my election. Because the president believes he didn't work with the Russians to steal the election from Hillary Clinton. He believes the Obama administration was trying to steal it from him, and he won anyway. But the media is convinced this is all some sort of elaborate conspiracy to go after Biden and the Clintons still. It is the worst possible interpretation. You read the call transcript with the president of Ukraine. What you see is that the president has been listening to pundits on Fox News saying a lot of things, frankly, a lot of them aren't true. Rudy Giuliani has bought into these things. Take CrowdStrike, for example. I can't tell you the number of conservatives who have referred me to articles by John Solomon, and the articles are wrong. In fact, the prosecutor retracted pretty much everything he told John Solomon after the election in Ukraine and largely admitted he was saying this stuff to try to persuade people in the election. But you're going to believe what you want to believe. And that goes for the Democrats as well. they want to believe what they want to believe. They want to believe that the president is out to get everybody. They want to believe that the president is out to undermine American safety. They want to believe the president is in cahoots with foreign governments. They want to believe the president is trying to enrich himself on office. Hey, what about Joe and Hunter Biden? You know, as a matter of fact, kudos to John King on CNN for pointing this out.
It is a fair question to ask because of Hunter Biden's international work. Even if Joe Biden did absolutely nothing wrong, was he the best person to send to Ukraine to deliver a message on corruption? Or should the Obama administration have found somebody else?
Yes, exactly. Thank you, John King. Y'all, there's really not a lot of there-theres in a lot of this stuff. And yet the media is able to amplify it all by believing the absolute worst about Donald Trump. And as Ari from Houston, Texas called in and pointed out, that when you watch these TV channels, they do not want to show any grace or common decency to the president. They want to believe the worst thing about him. And everything he does is interpreted through their interpretation of Donald Trump as some terrible orange man bad person. And to some degree, that's how we got the 2016 situation. The Obama administration, James Comey, the Clinton team, they believe the absolute worst about Donald Trump. And so every decision they made along the way, including buying into the Christopher Steele dossier, leaking it to reporters, reaching out to members of Congress, all of this stuff was done on the absolute belief that Donald Trump was the worst person ever. And so they came to believe every intelligence document they got, whether real or not, they viewed it in the light of Donald Trump is so terrible, this must be true. And it tripped them up. And now it's tripping up Democrats in Congress.
National connections, local focus. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
The voice is correct. 877-973-7425 is the phone number. Okay. I haven't even gotten on all the Hunter Biden stuff. I want to play you some audio, I guess. Well, man, these stories, you know, so I do a second radio show for a single market, and I got to stop every 6 minutes for traffic, and the clock is abridged, and it's nice to be able to stretch my legs. But you get to something like this where I've now got 4 minutes to get to the break, and I've had this whole hour, and I'm thinking, man, I'm only just getting started. What has happened? Well, let me play you one soundbite to set some perspective on where we need to go. I do, though, when we come back, there is Georgia news. I keep putting it off because there's been so much fast and furious with this impeachment stuff. But we got to get into Georgia news when we come back. But right now, there's this news.
Yeah, we had been expecting this move, a dramatic move, escalating this impeachment inquiry by the House, led by the House Intelligence Committee. Just moments ago, they announced they had issued a subpoena to the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, demanding he turn over documents as part of their investigation by October 15th. Now, what the Democrats are asking for are communications and other efforts that Giuliani was involved with to urge Ukrainian officials to launch an investigation into the president's political rival, former Vice President Joe Biden. They say in this letter citing comments that Giuliani even made on CNN, telling our colleague Chris Cuomo, when he acknowledged, saying, "Of course I did ask Ukraine to look into Joe Biden." Now, in this this letter, they break down a number of different categories of documents that they want to Giuliani to turn over, documents from over the last couple of more than 2 years. So that's why they're giving him 2 weeks to provide all this documentation. Now, in addition to that, the chairman of these three committees, it's the House Intelligence Committee led by Adam Schiff, but also the whole House Foreign Affairs Committee led by Elliot Engel and House Oversight Committee led by Elijah Cummings. They've sent letters to three of Giuliani's business associates seeking depositions of these individuals. So what we're seeing more broadly here, Brooke, is an escalation by this committee, which is already, these committees have already sent subpoenas over to the State Department asking to turn over documents relating to this effort to apparently urge the Ukraine government to investigate the Bidens, also seeking depositions from former State Department officials. The House Intelligence Committee separately wants to talk to the Intelligence Committee's Inspector General once again. So we're starting to see the pieces come together of a rapidly escalating impeachment probe.
Yeah, a rapidly escalating impeachment probe coming together. They've subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani. Now, Rudy Giuliani went on Fox News last night, and he had this to say.
Is there anybody that believes that Ukraine or China were paying for Hunter Biden's expertise? Or do you have the common sense to realize they were buying Joe Biden's office? And that is very damaging to the United States. Joe Biden was sent to Ukraine to, in part, deal with corruption, and he helped to corrupt the Ukraine. He is a laughingstock. We are, because we talk about corruption, and this guy puts his incompetent son to work for the most crooked oligarch in Russia. I mean, it is outrageous.
It is outrageous, and Rudy has a very fair point there, and the Democrats don't want to deal with it. They want to avoid it at all costs. I don't think they can avoid it at all costs. Even CNN is starting to talk about it. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, when we come back, I am hearing more and more that the governor may be soon closing the door on resumes for the Senate. Some interesting names are starting to float among the Senate potential candidates. Jan Jones, her name is out there now. She's the Speaker pro tem in the State House. You've also got the Sackerson-Singleton race. It is today in Fayette County. The Sackerson campaign attacking me now. And is Michael Thurman going to run for the Senate? We should discuss when we come back.